Our lesson for tonight, why Jesus taught in parables. And later on, we will be getting into many of the parables over the weeks. We will not cover, there's roughly 40 of them, but we will cover a good percentage of them, that which is applicable to our Christian walk. Some of them I will leave out because they basically have to do with Israel and things like that. And basically the teachings we're doing for tapes and stuff is we want mainly what we are being reminded of for practical application, you know, or where it affects our everyday walk with the Lord and how the principles apply. Okay, first of all, the parable or a parable in Scripture is very close to the words they used in the Old Testament, a proverb, a symbol. They used the word riddles, enigmas. They all basically were very close, but a parable usually tells a story, and it compares something. It uses comparisons, and so basically it takes a parable takes earthly objects or stories to teach spiritual principles. That's a good definition of what a parable is, and we'll see that that's one of the main reasons Jesus taught, and we will see the principle behind these parables. And many people, again, they forget, and we'll see the scriptures for that, that parables and all of Jesus' teachings still apply. And, you know, it isn't like, well, now the Holy Spirit's come, we don't need all of that. We need everything in the Word, because everything we will see from Scripture was given from God. And it's to reveal a full picture of what God is like. And he has not changed ever what he's like. He's revealed himself from generation to generation and from covenant to covenant. He's expanded on who he is and let people know more about what he's doing. But as far as God in himself, he says, I am the Lord. He changes not. In the new, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when people try to say this isn't important or that, well, it's there for a reason. You know, and we have many things to teach us and many angles the Scripture. And again, this is partly why stories are told. But let's go to Proverbs first, because it sort of gives us a good foundation of parables and the like. Proverbs 1, after the book of Psalms, or the books of Psalms. Proverbs 1, look at verses 5 through 7. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, and that word riddles is close to parable for us. Enigma sometimes, and these words, the best way they could describe them was the untying of knots. You know, it gave you, again, illustrations that these things weren't just on the surface. They were little puzzles to cause people to apply themselves to get a meaning to. And when people did, they tended to remember the principles better this way. Again, we would say a picture's worth a thousand words, and that's true at times. Sometimes all you do is show somebody something, and you don't have to say any words. And we see that God, the Scripture says, he speaks in many and divers ways. He spoke to the prophets in parables and riddles and symbols, in the old and the new. And so he still hasn't changed. You know, it's his right to do these things, to captivate man's attention. Job says the Lord speaks once or twice in dreams and visions. He has his own means and methods. Sometimes his words are very plain. They don't need no interpretation. You just do what you're told. At other times, he speaks indirectly. Often he does that to us through his word. Actually, as we have the fuller revelation of all Scripture, the New Covenant, and the writings of Christ and the apostles, we have it given more plainly. But at the same time, it's still hidden. And God conceals some of it from certain people. And we want to understand why he does this. And so we can attain to wisdom and not be foolish and not understand the things of the Spirit. So he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And often you'll find that when God gave parables and symbols and enigmas, immediately the foolish and the wicked wouldn't even bother with them. And that was God's intention. We're going to see. He screened out the wicked heart immediately and didn't bother. We'll find that God's nature is not as he's warned us. He does not cast pearls. He does not take the precious things and throw them to dogs. So we will see that God, when he deals even with the wicked, he does it in portion. And he waits to see what kind of respect a man gives him, and then he will proceed on. And we'll see he's not changed in this. And people who do not respond properly to God are hardened by God. And he conceals himself from them and allows the devil to deceive them. So we'll see this is a principle that has not changed with God. So again, when all the book of Proverbs and all of the wisdom of how to live in this world and so forth, it was given often in symbols and stories that the common people could understand, that have something to compare it with. And basically, what are words? Words used to express things and explain meanings. And even God himself, some of his prophecy was written in riddles, was written in poetry, you know, and sometimes he was very to the point. He does as he pleases, you know, and he has a variety of means to express the same truths, you know. See, there are not, one scripture cannot be interpreted many ways, as people say. That is not true. One truth can be explained and illustrated many ways and at different levels. But truth is truth. You know, something's either the truth or it's a lie. And when God speaks and reveals something, he intends for the right ears for a certain meaning to get across, not many meanings. So again, we will see why, and Jesus will explain himself some of these reasons that God does certain things that has not changed. Okay, go on over to Matthew. Chapter 13. We'll start first because we will not. What he's going to do is, Jesus is going to proceed actually to teach a parable, and then in the middle of it, when he finishes it to the people, the disciples are going to ask him why he's doing this, and Jesus will give a clear answer. And then after he gives this principle, he will proceed to interpret the parable. And this parable we won't cover this week. As we get into it, it basically is the foundation for all parables. It shows the principle of God and how he will reveal more and when he will reveal less, that he's simply using this parable to explain things, you know, to explain spiritual truths. Okay, verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. And then he proceeded with the parable. And then we go up to verse 10. And the disciples came. Notice there's a distinction here. It's important that we understand this for the teaching of parables. Now he specializes the group he's dealing with. He's not just dealing with the multitudes. Multitudes implied what? Anybody. Could have been anybody listening, Pharisees, the common people, Gentiles, anybody. But now he says something, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Notice they didn't say us. It's interesting. Why did you speak to them in parables? And of course, they'd been with him a little longer, and he had already begun to reveal the secrets of the kingdom to them because they were his. And he said something interesting. He answered and said to them, because this is the reason, so put your antenna up, it has been given to you. Who's you? Disciples, those who are mine, not the outsider, not the sinners. He said, it's been given to you to know the secrets, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And it's interesting, he's starting off from the beginning. Excuse me. So he's telling them something. Why? It makes sense when you understand it. Jesus said, when he was standing before Pilate, when he said, you know, are you a king? And he said, yes. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. And then Jesus said something interesting. The kingdom of God is within you. He said, my words are spiritual, not the flesh profits. Not. So he made a distinction, you know, that there is a spiritual kingdom, and then there's the worldly kingdom or the natural. And so this is, again, where the parable comes in to place. And so, again, he says something. For whosoever has what? Has some of the truths revealed to them, has some of the secrets given to them, has proceeded, you know, to understand these things. Notice what he says. More will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whosoever does not have, does not understand these things, does not take them to heart, even what he has will be taken away from him. So it's interesting. We see that we're going to see, and I'll give you some of it now so we save some time, and you'll see the process working. Basically, when he started to proceed to teach certain parables to the people as a whole, his intention was not to keep all of them ignorant, but it was to keep some of them. He wanted to give the basic, simple illustration of certain thoughts, and then he was waiting for response from these people at their level. How will they respond to this? Some would not. We know some of the Pharisees came to trap him, and the scribes and lawyers, and he already knew their heart. And he had no intentions of revealing anything spiritual to them. And he's going to proceed to tell us this in a few minutes. But there were those out there that he's given the opportunity as he sows this seed. And he'll explain this later when we get into him explaining the parable itself, the different stages and how man responds to God. So he was saying to his own, you've already understood these things, and I'm explaining these things to you. I want you to understand them. But everybody out there, you know, they're going to hear the same thing, but they're not going to perceive the same thing. Some are going to have their ears open, and some are not. But we're going to see that they determine it by how they've been dealing with God and with truth in their own hearts. And we'll see that God had no intentions of the Pharisees and the hypocritical religious leaders to understand anything, because they had already perverted the truth that was given to them. And so God was going to take away from them even what they had. And they would not be able to perceive who Christ was. Where the common people, often God opened their eyes. So again, you see this principle. Okay. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. So he's saying something that I say often, then people, often religious people and professing Christians, they've just got mental assent, but they really don't understand the spiritual things behind it. Oh, they can even mouth proper doctrine, but they don't know God. See, that's why we're going to have many people to say, Lord, Lord. Many backsliders, many professing Christians that don't know the Lord, that are religious people. And they're going to find out that they did not understand spiritual things, and they were not in the kingdom. And if they were at one time, they forfeited it. What they had was taken from them, because they did not proceed to go on with the Lord. And Satan robbed them and took it from them, which he has a right to do. And notice what he says. And in them, in these parables, and who I'm teaching these parables to that are not understanding, and he was mainly referring to the Pharisees and religious leaders at this time, is the prophecy of Isaiah fulfilled. And you can go back and it almost reads exactly like this, and he's quoting it. Hearing you will hear, and you shall not understand. Seeing you will see, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, that they should lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. here he's talking about has nothing to do with physical healing. He's talking about sin, the sin sick soul. And if you go back and read when the servant's called, who is Christ, he's told through Isaiah, go and harden them so they won't see. See, it was almost as if God, when he sent Christ, he knew the time would be right. Remember, he sent Jesus at a time when he knew the religious leaders were already wicked, and to accomplish his purposes. Had they known he was the Lord of glory, they would not have crucified him. He did not reveal things. Remember, God can use the wicked when it suits his purposes, and he did. But at the same time, to a certain degree, they could have responded if they meant business, but they didn't, you know. And he used these situations to accomplish his own purpose. So he was saying they will hear things and they will see things, but it will not do them any spiritual value, you know. And actually, it will make them worse off, because the light that I give them that they reject now, I'm going to punish them for. See, that's, the principle of his kingdom too. You know, to much is given, much is required. So you see the consequences of those who harden themselves toward God. He will withdraw what he's given them, and he will keep them from getting anything else spiritually. See, that's the danger that I try to teach us in our practical walk. When you allow sin in your life and rebellion against the Lord, something happens, because the Holy Spirit begins to react to these things. And yet you can continue to acquire knowledge and information and think you're acquiring spiritual truths, but they're not giving you no value in your life. They're not profiting you spiritually, because you're not right with God, and they cannot profit you spiritually. You're just getting some information, you know, but it does not do no spiritual work, because it can't. The Holy Spirit will not allow it to, okay? Who does he reveal himself to? Who does he take into the paths of righteousness? It says those who are led of the Spirit. So it's only the disciples and the sheep. And when he says sheep, he means obedient sheep. He don't mean the backsliders, the lukewarm and the carnal. These are the ones that he says he will guide into all truth. And see, the ones, that was the promise of the Spirit, he will guide us into all truth. We will go on. But those who are lukewarm and carnal and backslidden and worldly and hypocrites, they will not be guided by the Spirit. They will be given over to deception. And they will find that the devil is a master at this, and will have them. Okay? So that's why many religious people who will say, Lord, Lord, Jesus will say, you are cursed of my Father. You know, you didn't do his will, and therefore he didn't lead you, and therefore you were not his. And if you were ever his, you are not his anymore. You know, and some of the parables are going to teach this. But verse 16, but blessed are your eyes. Who? You, the disciples. You're the ones that have come under my discipline. That's what disciple means. You've come under to be trained. You've acknowledged me as Lord, and you are proceeding to obey me. And this is what they were doing. And he's saying, then it's to you who's given to understand the things of the spiritual kingdom, because you're in it. You know, you're in a different kingdom. You're not of the world, like he said. You know, I've called you out of that world. And so those who are not in the kingdom, God cannot, and they cannot really understand the spiritual things of God, their foolishness. And we're going to see those scriptures. Okay? So we'll see then, that, again repeating, number one, the purpose of him teaching parables to a great degree, to reveal secrets of the kingdom to serious seekers. So again, it makes a difference here what he's talking about. Those who are diligent, serious-minded about these things. And to conceal the same secrets from curiosity seekers, from worldly people, from people who, like the Pharisees, that really were trying to trap Jesus. They weren't listening for the right reason. And God didn't want them understanding the spiritual. It was a part of the punishment of sin on them. You know, those, again, because God is not in the habit of casting pearls before the wicked. See, he does not waste. Only in his mercy, the times that he extends himself, he reveals and rebukes sin. But he will not take them anywhere, you know. And then he warns them what will happen. That's the minimum he will do. say, you know, come to yourselves and remember what's happened to you before you're too far gone. You know, that's basically what he tells everyone by the principles of who he is and how he waits. But he does not intend for carnal and lukewarm and worldly people to dabble into spiritual things, because to him it's foolishness. It's an insult to him, and he's saying, my spirit won't show you. It will not profit this people, he said. It will do them harm. See, again, you have to understand, God considers the wicked person that will not obey him, to pursue him is an evil thing. It's an insult to God. The sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination to God. He does not want nothing from them. You know, he's in opposition to them. And he don't want them knowing nothing about his deep things. Family secrets and the secrets to those who belong in the family. He don't want them knowing these things because they're considered his enemies. You know, and they can't appreciate them properly. And that's why he said, do not cast pearls before swine. The pigs, they don't understand. They understand slop and food and whatever's thrown to them. They're not interested in gold, silver, and precious things. You know, if you dress a sow up, what do you think it cares? It would rather for you to make a necklace of rotten food, put it around its neck. It's something it can eat. You know, it has no interest. It can't, because its nature is entirely different. Same with the dogs. The dog, again, is a scavenger and devours whatever it can find to satisfy its stomach. It's not interested in you dressing him up in a pretty garment, you know, and putting coats and silk on him. He'll rip it to shreds and play with it. So he's showing you the nature of the wicked, and the nature of God is that I'm not interested in giving them the sacred things. And before I can give them the things of the kingdom, I must do something and they must respond properly. You know, they're my enemies. They're totally different. And I have to do a transaction and I have to do a work before I can make them a disciple. And they must respond to this work when I extend my grace. And we will get into how he does this. So again, we're seeing that the purpose of the parables on one side is to reveal the secrets. And on the other side is to conceal the secrets. And God has not changed. He's still in the process of doing this. This is why when you'll find when you deal with certain people year after year, and you can give them scripture, and they can sit there and seem to halfway know what you're saying, but they never go on. They never go anywhere because the Spirit's not doing a work. And the Spirit's not doing a work because they're not responding properly to God. And so all they're ever getting is information which is not profiting them spiritually. And there comes a time that God does not want you casting pearls and wasting your time, because you waste his time and you do something that the Spirit himself will not do. So we have to be in tune to the Spirit's dealings, and we will know when to speak a word in season and when to be quiet and just let the person's life go on, you know. And let God and them and the devil work it out. So some things we have to realize, we've done all we can do. Okay. Matthew 28. I wanted to go back to the two scriptures, basically. When people, you know, try to do away with so much. You know, we have two things. People either try to say, well, I'll take Jesus' word above the epistles. Well, there is a fool. Because even Jesus himself said, until the Spirit comes, you cannot really fully understand a lot of the things I'm telling you. It takes the apostolic teachers and ministry after Pentecost to explain many of these things and put them into action. Because the Spirit had not come during those times. Jesus revealed much, and much he concealed. And he said, there's many things I can't tell you until the Spirit enters you. That you're limited in what can be revealed to you and what you can understand. So again, but he laid the foundation, and he meant for us later to understand these things and to look back and say, oh, now I see really what you mean, you know. So, and then we have the other tendency to people who think the apostolic teaching, you know, since Pentecost, anything before that we don't need, which is foolishness too, you know. Well, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. When you hear people say that, you hear an idiot. Because even Jesus refuted this, and all the apostles do. Well, first of all, go to Matthew 28. You get it out of the words of the Lord himself. at the resurrection and before his ascension into heaven, chapter 28, look at verse 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Notice he didn't say make believers. He must make someone who is going to follow the Lord, followers of the Lord, which means they will grow and go on into maturity and fully bear fruit in all things. This is what he's talking about. Making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So what is he saying? When I taught you about the Beatitudes, I taught you the principles of the law, you know, that all of these things have a purpose, and I want you to know about them. And so the parables are included here. I want you to understand later when you have the Spirit opening your eyes and guiding you all the truth, you're going to see these parables in a way that even some of the disciples couldn't fully understand because the Spirit wasn't dwelling in them. He's saying, you know, that's why I say it's needful that I go away. For when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He didn't say he knew he could not do that in the natural. It's not his job. He laid the foundation. He laid the principles. But he says, but when he comes, he's going to take you on. And then you'll see these things. And you'll see why it was necessary. Even the living disciples would look back and say, oh, it was better that Jesus left us bodily. Because now we can understand the spiritual things as Paul did, who never knew the Lord in the body. And he knew as much or more than any of the apostles because the Spirit had come. And he was capable of revealing these things. But notice he says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So these are commands. You cannot love the Lord God. You cannot be a Christian unless you abide in Christ and abide in his love. And John and Paul and all the apostles tell us, to abide in his love, we must keep his commandments. So that's everything he's taught us. So that includes the parables. They have a place. So we should learn what they mean and how can we apply their spiritual truths to our everyday Christian walk. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. How is he going to be with them? The very way he told them. I will come to you. I will be the Spirit of truth, and I will dwell in you where I was just dwelling with you, and I was limited bodily. When I ascend to the Father and my full glory is restored, I will come back as the Godhead. And we will come and make our abode with you, and I will be the Spirit of truth to you. So this is what he was telling them, what he was going to do. Okay, and then go to 2 Timothy. So when people tell you that the Old Testament's not important, you've seen an idiot, and you can tell them they're an idiot. Paul and James, they had, and Jesus had no qualms about telling people they were spiritual idiots when they were. Nothing to be proud of, something to be ashamed of. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now you got to remember when this was written, the all Scripture was Old Testament. And it's interesting. People forget this. Most of the New Testament was not written. John hadn't even began to write anything. He wasn't going to write until 10 years later. What Scripture are they talking about? Every time the apostles quoted Scripture in Jesus, they quoted the Old Testament. And even though Peter would refer to Paul's writings as Scripture, he didn't quote them. He quoted Old Testament. James quoted the writings of Jesus and paraphrased them. See, they understood what they were. So all Scripture, so that means the Old Testament, that means the parables of Jesus, as far as much as the epistles, is what is given by inspiration. It means they are God-breathed. That's what a word for the prophet, God's spokesman, those who speak by inspiration. They speak and reveal the mind of God. So he's saying, God said, I want this said. Basically what it means. You know, this is me and what I'm revealing. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and what's its purpose? It is profitable. It produces something is what it means. It gives an increase. God has a reason for it. Even to the wicked, it has a purpose. It ministers death. See, the Word of God ministers life or death when the Holy Spirit uses it. See, that's the difference. And it's intended to do this. The Word of God, he said, will not return void. It will accomplish its purpose. When God speaks, the person will never be the same spiritually. They will either be better off or worse when he speaks. Now, a man speaks and quotes scriptures, sometimes nothing happens. But if God inspires it, or God opens the person's ears, they will be better off or worse off, however they responded to this word. See, and that's why Jesus talked about the parables. You know, I'll either open their understanding or I'll harden them, but they will not be the same. See, that's the danger of standing under anointed teaching or preaching, or when God gives you a word. It means accountability. You better respond properly, because there's going to be a consequence if you do not. See, that's the law of the kingdom. See, and we need to understand that. So it's profitable. It means it will produce something. It's profitable for teaching. All of God's word is profitable for teaching. The law of Moses, God's dealings with the patriarchs, with Israel, the Psalms, Ecclesiastes by the backslidden preacher. All of these have a purpose and a place to show us things and illustrate things. And even Jesus told the scribes that came to him, he says, you have old and new treasure. You know, you can go out and get the old treasure and look at it, and you've got new too. See why? Because they fit together and they have their place. You know, they don't exclude. They just keep unveiling further God's revelation. All the symbols and parables still speak of principles that God deals in and works in. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. It means in righteous living. So when people say, well, I'm not under the law, so you're under the law of Christ. And anyone under the law of Christ cannot break the moral law of Moses. If you're under the law of Christ, you cannot be a thief, a robber, a fornicator, a liar, a covetous person, or you're not a Christian. See, that nullifies a lot of their false teachings. See, they think their being a Christian gives them a license to sin. Scripture teaches no such thing. Christianity gives the believer the ability to live the moral law that those under the covenant, old covenant, didn't have. And of course, God winked at them and he didn't hold them as accountable. So he requires more of the Christian than he does of those who did not have the light, because they have the Spirit helping them, where those under the old covenant, God limited, they didn't hold them as accountable because they didn't have the Spirit dwelling in them. He was able to wink at certain things and bypass some of their sins and hold them off. Where in the new, he won't. See, so he can deal more severely with the Christian who's supposed to know. That's why he dealt more severely with David, because the Spirit came on him as an anointed king. And when he sinned, certain things happened. And God just didn't wink at it. He revealed it and dealt with it. And he says, and that's for you. Remember, Paul said, all that was written for us, to show you that I, the Lord, haven't changed. Now, if you want to deal like David, that's how I'll deal with you. And if you want to act like Saul, then I'll harden you like I did Saul and cut you off. See, all of that still applies. So all Scripture, it's given to teach us something. And Paul said all of the Old Testament was written for us that we would not lust after evil things and that we would learn by their examples. So do you think it's been done away with? Do you think it's not important? See, that's the devil teaching that false doctrine. Scripture don't teach that. Jesus never taught that. Okay, and what's the purpose? When the man is instructed in the righteousness and he's learned profitable teachings and what sound doctrine is and what it means to follow the Lord and obey him and be pleasing to the Lord, it says, then, or that the man of God may be complete or mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Saying not only will you be able to understand the milk and the vegetables, you will be understand the meat of the word, and you'll understand what God requires of you as a member of the body of Christ and where your duty lies before the Lord and what you will give an account for when you stand before the Lord for what you've been given. See, he wants the Christian to grow up to be useful in the kingdom. Babies are really not useful for the kingdom, you know. Well, we don't expect them. We expect them to grow up. And so when they grow up and mature, then they are useful to the kingdom. One spiritual Christian's worth a million baby Christians. A million baby Christians do not affect the kingdom at all and have no power whatsoever against the devil outwardly or for ministry. That's why Paul didn't put novices in places of authority. But one spiritual person that understands the things of the Spirit can sense Satan fleeing at certain times. And it says that he will flee. See, he understands. See, one thing that it's sad that many professing Christians and many novices and baby Christians, they don't understand the rules and the principles, and the demons do. And they're not going to tell you what they are. They want you ignorant so they can defeat you and keep you from accomplishing the will of God. That is their purpose. Okay, so we're seeing then that these parables are scripture. And they're meant to teach us in the way of righteousness, how to be a righteous person. And they teach the principles of how to stay righteous when you acquire that, and how to live out the life of Christ in us. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 and to 14. For what man knows the things of the man except the spirit of the man who is in him? So what is he saying? I'll give you the great revelation here. He's saying, everybody in this room, you know what's in yourself. You know, unless you're an idiot, a brain dead, or on drugs, you know basically what's going on with yourself. You know, if you want to know, whether you're living right or you're not, whether you want to be deceived, whether you're a hypocrite, whether you're a con, you know all of that. See, other people may not know that all the time. Eventually they'll see it and it'll be revealed to them, especially if they're spiritual. But it simply means you know what's in your heart more than anybody else does. You know the secret sins. You know the things that aren't pleasing. You know how you think. And people often can't see this. God has not given us to see this. Only at times does he reveal the sins when it's profitable to the church or for the situation or to save the person. You know. So what is he saying? You know yourself like no one else does, is basically what he's saying. And so he says, so even so, see again, he's actually giving a parable teaching, a comparison. As you know yourself, you know, he's saying something here. Even so, no one knows the things of God except who? The Spirit of God. He says, no one fully understands God's wisdom and ways and dealings but God himself. Like the scripture says, who will be his counselor? You know, who will tell him to give an account of himself? Remember how he answered Job, you know, are you going to judge me? You know, you don't even know where the hail comes from and the ice, and you're going to call me on the carpet? You see, again, God was saying, I know these things. Nothing's hidden from me. And so he's saying, as I know all, the Spirit, my Spirit, who is God, knows all. Nothing's hidden from him. And so notice what he says here. Now we have not received the spirit of the age, the spirit of the world. This is the one, or the people, the non-Christian, the person who God does not want knowing the things of the Spirit. Isn't it interesting? But notice what he says. But the Spirit who is from God, that's who we've been given. Who? The believer, disciple. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us. So he's saying what? To the disciple, to the follower, the Spirit knows the things of God, and because you're in the family of God, he wants you to know these things. He wants you to understand the principles of the kingdom, because you're in the kingdom. And he wants to reveal these. But see, the implication is he doesn't reveal them all at once. He must guide us into all truth. See, if the Spirit came, he did not come to instantly give us all. We have to grow and mature and go on. See, it's a life. You know, so we don't acquire all of the knowledge of the kingdom, but we begin in it. And he guides us. See, he's likened us to the shepherd who leads us to the path of God's will, who leads us on the narrow way and finally gets us to heaven. But we follow him in this way. And we're learning and acquiring much as we do this. These things we also speak, the we the disciples, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. So again, he's saying a similar thing. The Pharisee cannot understand what we're talking about because he's not following the Lord. He can use Scripture. He can quote Scripture, but he doesn't know the Master. You know, something's wrong here. So Paul is saying, but the spiritual person who has the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them, who is my disciple, he says, you'll start to understand. You'll be able to spiritually compare and see things that the unbeliever cannot because he's in a different kingdom. And I'm opposed to him. And he's opposed to me. And I don't share these things. And I don't want them understanding. And see, again, we have to understand, too, when God talks about revealing secrets or revealing the principles of the kingdom, these are to be experienced. They're not just mental assent. They're the life itself of Christ. And so that's why the unbeliever cannot experience this. See, he can examine and look and comprehend a little. Like demons can say, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. But we don't obey him by choice. You know, we're not his disciples. But we know who he is. We know he's the judge. We know he's the Lord of glory. But see, it doesn't avail them for salvation. And so many wicked people can acknowledge the same who are going to hell. Because it doesn't avail them and it doesn't produce life. They don't have eternal life because they don't have relationship with Jesus Christ. But they know about him. You know, the backslider knows about him. The carnal and the lukewarm have experienced something, you know. But see, something happens. But the natural man, the man of the world, the man who is not a follower of Jesus Christ, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? First of all, they're pigs and they're dogs. And he'll explain this. For they are foolishness to him. See, they're not precious to him. He don't want these. His mind is in the gutter. His mind is strictly on self, me, the world, self-gratification. And the only time he thinks of God is when how can I get something out of him? How can I barter and bargain? See, this is the spirit of Satan, which is self, self-seeking. And so you'll see many people who think they're Christians. They aren't. You know, they're in it for what they can get out of it. You know, like many of the ministers and teachers are hirelings. Their real motive is not to please God. How can I fleece these people and what can I get out of this? If I have to use religion to do it, then I will do this. There's money in religion. Turn the television on. Somebody's making some money. They sure keep getting it in, don't they? Getting all these pledges from these imbeciles to keep supporting trained in covetous practices. So what is he saying here? For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually understood, and the Spirit of God will not let them understand. And he tells the devil, rob it from them. Don't let them see it. Blind them. See, that's simply what's going on. He's saying they can't know me, you know, even if they wanted to. The carnal man is at enmity with God. What did Paul say? He cannot be subject to the will of God. He has to be put to death. See? And so what we're seeing is that he's simply saying then the parables, many things I'm teaching is only for you. They're not for the sinner. They're not for the backslider. They're not for the worldly and the carnal. And the lukewarm. Because they're back in that kingdom. And he's saying, and I can't reveal. Why? Because I give not my spirit to the world. He said he only gives the spirit to his. See, so you see the same principle involved. Let's take a break here.